I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. It is the Thursday morning show. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Visiting during the new normal is our way of connecting with people across the listening area and learning about their passions as well as how the pandemic has changed their lives for better or for worse. Teachers and professors across the country have faced the new normal of providing school remotely. Moving educational content online can be challenging for many subjects. Choir classes in particular have had a wildly different experience when kids are tucked in their individual homes rather than all together in a class. Jennifer Olson is an assistant professor of voice at Bemidji State University. During the pandemic, she's created a free online video series of dynamic virtual content to supplement middle school and high school choir curriculum. So far, her content is reaching 96 teachers and programs in 5 states, more than 11,000 students so far. John, we're going to get a little sneak at what this sounds like, okay?
All right.
Today, we're discussing vibrato, or vibrato. What it is, how it's produced, and why it's important to singing. Let's get started. So what is vibrato? In Italian, vibrato means to throb or to vibrate. Well, in music, vibrato means to waver or oscillate on a note. Now, if we were to zoom in on that wavelength of that note, we would actually see that the pitch is actually moving between two pitches. Those two pitches are so close together that when we hear it at normal speed, it sounds like one note, but we can hear this wavering happening. Vibrato is so beautiful because what it does is creates a fuller, more complex sound that can project and resonate with much more force.
That gives you a little idea of Jennifer Olson and what she has been doing on video in this new normal. Jennifer joins us now from her home in the Bemidji area. Hey, Jennifer, thanks for being here.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I could see you just with your chin down, just absorbing that. How did it sound?
Well, you know, we're always our own toughest critics. So, you know, the path to perfection is endless.
Well, it was beautiful. It was a nice respite in a busy morning. So how did you come up with this idea to make these educational videos for music teachers?
Well, COVID hit and in music classes, and we learn by doing. So it's all in person. And so all of a sudden, our teachers had to go virtual. And I thought, how are they going to do that? There's no educational content out there. So I thought, well, I'm going to work hard and try to create some content that's engaging, that can be useful to our teachers and hopefully interesting and engaging to students.
I think engaging is the right word. Now, we heard it in the audio form, not the video form, but you could tell that there were graphics and different things going on. Is this something you knew how to do?
It's funny you ask that. You know, I started the project in September, end of August, beginning of September. And the whole first season, which is 14 episodes, was from August to December. And I wrote, filmed and edited all the videos mostly by myself. And I am, if you know me, that's hilarious because I'm technologically quite challenged. I knew I had to jump in fast. I knew that I needed to do this before even I was ready because our teachers were having to do that. They're still having to do that constantly. So I just opened iMovie and did the best I could. And you'll see the production value. Now we're in season two now, and I have an incredible student worker who's a senior in mass communications. Her name is Madeline Hodgkins. She's our videographer and producer now. And she does all of the editing. So since she took over the creative look of the show, it's so much better. A lot more engaging, a lot more graphics. But I did try to do a lot of graphics, a lot of sound effects, a lot of more interesting approaches. I would say Madeline's approach is so much more fun and silly that I find it much more engaging than when I did it by myself.
What kind of topics do you cover?
We cover a lot of topics. We cover performance anxiety, singing posture, singing breath, resonance, legato, intervals, food rhythms, solfege, preparing music effectively on our own, singing vowels, singing consonants, vibrato. I mean, that's just a few.
Holy cow. That's a lot.
Know, when you said, so singing posture and singing breath, I'm sure you have seen these news reports recently that music teachers and opera singers are helping COVID patients that are having problems with breathing. Have you seen that in the news?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Huh. So can you kind of explain that? What do you know as a singer? And John and I should probably know this because our voices are our instruments as well in the work we do. We're just not as eloquent as you are.
Well, I think you and I just do different things. You know, as you can hear, speaking is not necessarily where I'm most comfortable. So, but essentially what we do as singers, as professional singers, is we take the breath process and we slow it down. And it's in much more control. So the first thing that I would say is that in everyday life, when we're stressed out, when we're busy, you know, and this is a stressful time for everyone for varying reasons, we have a tendency to breathe up high in our chest. And you can simulate that by sort of like hyperventilating. That's high breath. And that is something that that's like the no-no in singing. So what we do is we do diaphragmatic breathing. We breathe much, much lower into the body. We allow the breath to drop down, expand out. And then what we do is we create resistance to control the breath as we use the air. And over time, that control then can really help people. I've worked with people with all kinds of issues, and the singing breath is helpful for lots of people.
How do you get your breath down?
That's a good question. Well, there's an easy way to practice. When you're in bed about to fall asleep, put your hand on your lower abdomen, breathe all the way out, then breathe in and feel your hand rise up as you breathe in, and then sink as you breathe out. And what you'll find, if you have trouble feeling that, if you just become aware of your breath right before you fall asleep, your body falls into diaphragmatic breathing by itself, on its own.
So do you breathe in with both your nose and your mouth and exhale with both your nose and your mouth?
Well, that's a good question. There are you know, several theories about that. Some teachers prefer to breathe in solely through the nose. Some vocal teachers prefer to breathe solely in through the mouth. Generally speaking, you don't want to do both at the same time because it's harder to gauge what you're doing. So I'm definitely someone who, I'm a mouth breather, so I like to breathe through my mouth as much as I can. But, you know, everybody's a little bit different, and that's really the main thing as a vocal teacher to realize, is every voice is different. There are fundamentals, of course, that are the same, but, you know, the way people feel things is so different, and you have to really adapt to what every individual needs.
Now, after you have taught a student kind of better breathing, do you hear that in their voice?
Oh,
and what do you hear? What is different in the sound?
When someone has achieved a more controlled, deeper breath when they sing, you'll hear a more consistent, even sound. It'll be bigger. It will have more overtones. It's a big difference. But, you know, that's not something that you just teach and go. It's something that, it takes many, many years. I mean, I've been singing for many years, and I'm still working on my breath all the time.
Hmm. Right. It's kind of like when you're trying to get some balance in life and you feel like you have a day like, oh, I did it today. Mm-hmm. And then you got to start over the next day. And it's
exactly.
Hey, Jennifer, one of the things that we mistake when we're on the radio, at least I do, is I turn the mic up and you can always hear me go, I should have done that before I turned the mic up.
And you know, take a deeper breath and you're going to sound a little calmer. Yeah. And
Okay, yeah. I got to know what food rhythms are. That sounds very exciting.
It's just a game that we play it's a mnemonic trick that we play with kids for them to understand rhythms more intuitively. So for instance, eighth notes we call apple. We call quarter notes pie. We call triplets chocolate. So it would be like this: apple pie, chocolate pie. So we teach them words that we have every day. And we equate them to food rhythms, banana, you know, stuff like that. So that, you know, those rhythms don't seem quite so scary. And it's fun.
Jennifer Olson from Bemidji State University. She's an assistant professor of voice. This is Visiting During the New Normal. I said at the beginning that your content has reached 96 teachers and programs in 5 states, more than 11,000 students so far. What have you been hearing from people?
Well, I'm thrilled to say that it's been overwhelmingly positive. I'm so grateful. It's so rewarding that all this really hard work is actually useful right now on the ground in the trenches for these teachers. The kids seem to like it, and I've been really thrilled. It's very rewarding because this is a tremendous, tremendous amount of work. So
I bet. And you're in the second season, you said?
We're in the second season. We will be releasing episode 6 this Friday. We release an episode every week. This season will also have 14 episodes. The videos are between, 6 and 12 minutes long. It takes a tremendous amount of work to make them happen.
It's all about learning. We know you're an expert at audiovisual techniques now. What what did you learn from this? What have you learned from this?
Well, I can put a video together now. I can create some interesting effects. I usually end up doing a lot more work to make those effects than people who know how to do those things do. I've learned that. I've learned how to be more comfortable on camera. I've learned that I'm the kind of person who has to be very organized when I do something. And so I write out my scripts, and I've learned that I need to be a little bit more flexible on that, so that it's much more of a conversation with the students. I've learned that our students at BSU, I have 2 student workers currently. I'm working on getting 2 more. I've learned that they are incredibly creative, self-driven. I could not be where I am without the help of particularly these 2 students, Carolyn Smith and Madeline Hodgkins. I've just been so impressed with their work ethic and with their talent. Amazing. I've learned that education can be fun and should be fun. And finally, I've learned that it's so important to be connected as a professor in college. It's so important to be connected to my colleagues out there in the schools. They are the gatekeepers of our future leaders, and I have nothing but respect and awe for what they are doing right now during these difficult times.
There's no doubt in my mind you're organized, because every picture in the background is perfectly straight. I love it.
Jennifer, who was the first music teacher that inspired you in your life?
I had a teacher in undergraduate school. Her name was, is Joyce Wendell. And when I went to college, I went to a very small school. I didn't know really anything about classical music. I auditioned because I wanted a scholarship, and, I didn't know what I was going to study. And she introduced me to the classical music repertoire in the vocal field, and I was hooked, totally hooked, and I have not recovered from that addiction ever since.
If you are interested, or you know of a teacher that might find this helpful, you can email bsusings@bemidjistate.edu. Jennifer Olson, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for your passion.
Thank you.
This is Visiting in the New Norm on KAXE KBXE, and it's made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.